Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Life is about love, and love is about relationships. And our happiness in life is in direct proportion to our capacity and ability to love. You know, this is from the heart of the scriptures, and it's in the heart of the messages that I share. It is the heart of who we are as Trinity Baptist Church, as a caring family of believers. And we enter into the love of God with a most unique focus now, because we're living through a strange and challenging time. Through God's grace and our togetherness, we are surviving the challenge. And God gives us the capacity to adapt and even thrive during these times. And once the COVID-19 danger passes, we will return to familiar ways for which we have become newly grateful. There will be some practices that we have developed during this time that we will choose to keep going forward. This current challenge is shaping us. And therefore, our faith and how we are living life will determine who we will be on the other side of the pandemic. How we live our faith and is determined by the presence of God shaping us. And that's why we worship wherever we are, wherever you are right now, wherever we are experiencing the stretching of ourselves into the presence of God. So our attention just gets off of me and dwells upon the Lord and us. And so Jesus said in the passage that you've heard read earlier in the service, that many of you know by heart. Jesus is in a long conversation with his followers. The apostles are right there, and other men and women, disciples, and some boys and girls are listening in as well. And Jesus is saying to them, hey, I want you to know what is real and what is true. And so he opened up with verse 13:1. He said, I know the hour has come, and having loved his own in the world, and love them to the end. Jesus knows. He knows where you are, the pressures and the pulls and the pains in your life now, whether it's in your business, it's in your employment, whether it's in the pressures that you're experiencing in your own apartment, your condo, your trailer, or your house, wherever he knows. He wants you to know, knows, and he wants you to know that his love for you is there with you. It is the very character of Jesus' love. Now, we take a deep breath and we accept the reality of our current challenge, and then his love fills us up, relaxes our minds so we can think more clearly, frees our hearts so we may feel with that kind of compassion and wonder and joy, to laugh a big belly laugh when something humorous has really occurred, and then to do the reach out and touch that have been highlighted through our worship. The first Baptist churches in America were begun in Rhode Island. And among the first was one begun by a remarkable character of history, Roger Williams. This week, the Providence Baptist Church had a hilarious marquee. And it said, had not planned on giving up quite this much during Lent. We've all been caught by surprise of a new focus, and this new focus is the very means by which God says, when we've been addicted to stuff, get freed from that. When we have been addicted to ego ways of climbing the ladder of success, let go of that. But use your talents in a way that makes a contribution so that when you return to what is the new normal after this new normal, that you will be a person who's freed up spiritually by what you have fasted from, a forced fasting, but you have fasted from in this Lenten season. Give it to God. And let God reshape your awareness of how your life can be now, so you will be ready for the life which is ahead of you. God gives us the capacity to adapt, to survive, but even to thrive during these times. Many of you, your families are like our family, the Holland family. Surprisingly, all of our clan is in San Antonio, and we have pods. That's what we're calling ourselves, pods that live in different areas of San Antonio. And we're having family Zoom time, even like we're having family Bible studies and small groups and pastoral staff meetings, or like yesterday in taking part in a citywide conversation of faith leaders in San Antonio. So here's our family kind of all together on Zoom, catching up and talking with each other in three generations just right there. Or the other part of the screen is that Stephen and Paige, who recently moved here from Oakland and San Francisco, some of Paige's friends from Phoenix, Arizona, that she had known in church when she was a girl, had moved here as well, and they're having a reunion after 16 years, but they weren't able to hug. They weren't able to give a high five, and they were in the front yard, having the appropriate physical distancing while experiencing a sense of togetherness with each other. We're all doing this. Vicki and I are walking more in our neighborhood, maybe like you are, taking care of yourself physically so you can relax yourself emotionally and mentally and stretch yourself spiritually. We are walking down a road, and we don't normally see ducks in our neighborhood, but I looked up, and there on the high wire were these two ducks. They were practicing social distancing. I couldn't help but take a photograph, and certain things have caught your attention with that as well. The awareness that we are learning as we go from what Jesus knows and shows, all of us are being stretched. Know this, one, we're all stumbling to get it right, and we aren't knowing exactly how to do some of the things we're being required to do, and everyone is in that same boat. And it's okay, but make sure that you're letting yourself be stretched towards God. Make sure that it's a God kind of stretch into His way while you learn maybe it's new technology, new ways of being together. Maybe you feel like, I can't believe I'm having to spend this much time with fill in the blank, my wife, my husband, my children, my whatever, my dog, my cat, whatever this is. How do I do this? God, help me. And the Lord says, I'm glad you asked. Because how you open yourself to me, I will give you the capacity. Hey, this may not be true for any of you, but I've had to discover about myself, when I get impatient, I have to ask a question. Is that just my personality preference? And if it is, I need to own up to it and let go of it. But if it is a matter of urgency and importance that this has a timetable and we got to stick with it, then that's the right kind of patience of trusting in God's timing to get done what needs to be done, when it should be done, as it should be done. Let God shape your personality during this time. The people who are living with you and around you will appreciate it. The Shelnut family mentioned earlier also have done or doing what many of you have been doing, both here and other parts of the world, and that's doing artwork and chalk sidewalk artwork. And so here outside of their way, in order for the people that come up and down their sidewalk, whether it be the postal delivery man or delivery people or neighbors or they themselves, they wrote out Isaiah 41:10. If you know it, if you can read it from the screen of their artwork, say it with me. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. The prophet Isaiah was living during a difficult time, and this prophet Isaiah helped to shape Jesus' message as the Savior of the world. Lean into being stretched by learning from those who have gone before you. And the Word of God enables your mind to have a resting place in the clarity of what is eternal. Let yourself be stretched Godward in this time of adapting, surviving, and thriving. Secondly, is to accept. Accept your need to be healed, my need to be healed, our need to be healed, by centering in Christ. We're all caught in amazement that 7.8 billion people from more than 192 countries and territories are thinking about the same thing. the coronavirus 19, COVID-19. And yet, if that's all we think about, then it will consume us and destroy us in a different way. But if we recognize that this danger indeed is the danger, or like the Chinese character of crisis conveys, it is danger and opportunity. Now see, that's exactly what's going on in this approach to Palm Sunday and Easter that is called in Scripture Passion Week, the last week in the life of Jesus. A fourth to a third of each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, focus on the last week in the life of Jesus. Why is that? Well, one, because he did the salvation work of atonement on the cross and the power of life over death and the resurrection. But also, God wants you to know the pattern of Christ and how to live during the most difficult moments. It's been stress tested. Your finances right now are fully, and mine too, are being stress tested. And so what is real here is that if we center ourselves in Christ, then we can be healed deep within. Now, Peter had a really hard time with this. I have too, and probably you have as well. We find it in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 13. It's the story of what would Jesus do with this last evening with the disciples, having the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist? Absolutely. That's where we celebrate on Thursday of Maundy Thursday, Holy Week. But he also washed the feet of the disciples. Strange. No one was expecting that. There was no practice in Scripture for that to be done before, because Jesus was the rabbi and Lord, and it was the students, his disciples' typical habit to wash his feet as the teacher. But instead, he took off his outer garment, wrapped it around his waist, picked up a towel, got a basin of water, and began to wash their feet. That's the call of love and servanthood. It's the call of servant leadership. It is the call of what Christ said. And Peter said, you are not washing my feet. And maybe you've had the experience of someone trying to wash your feet. And you said, no, my feet are not pretty. Don't do this. I don't want you touching my feet. Of course, right now we can't. But Peter saw the eyes of Jesus gazing deep into his soul, and that Jesus said, you don't realize that, you don't understand. You will later. Trust me now for what I am showing you about love. Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, then you can have no part of me. And like Peter, he stepped into the stretch, stumbling along the way, but kept his balance by his honest awareness. He said, Lord, then wash me all over. Peter never knew what he was thinking until he said it out loud. Maybe some of that's going on in our households too. And so Jesus said, hey, Peter, just let me wash your feet. Are you paying attention? I trust you are. Just the simple things of life and seeing the glory of God. Things which maybe our normal routine has just kept us distracted by the busyness of what we do. You know, one wonderful lady and friend who's a grandmother and a wife and a mother. And she was feeling all the pressures, what was in her family. And she was doing what we should all do. She was taking it to the Lord in prayer, and she stepped into her backyard, and at that very moment, a cardinal flew into the backyard, perched, stayed for a moment, and in that moment, she could feel like the presence of God was reminding her that he is the creator of all. He is the creator, and he knows exactly what her pressing prayer is all about. And she felt the peace come by that reminder, and the bird flew off. And she was thinking, rightly so, maybe to give that message of hope to the life of another. A friend of mine is Beth Scott Ryan. She is an artist. And also, she was paying attention to God's creation. And an eastern bluebird flew into her yard. And she was mesmerized by that, and she picked up and began to do a watercolor painting again. And then she thought of the scripture from Job, who was under immense pressure. You know the story of Job? He seemed to have lost it all. And yet he found himself coming again and again and deeper into God's presence. For Job said, "In his hands is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." See, Peter had to accept his need to let Jesus serve him. That was Jesus also saying, "I'm almost on the cross. That's where I'm headed, is to the cross. That's where I will do the ultimate act of servant leadership as Savior of the world, completing my Messiah mission to give my life in a way that the virus of sin, the addictive disease of sin that covers so many of the sources of our life." Jesus said, "I'm going to provide a cure for all of it. But you've got to accept how deeply you need me." Maybe you're embarrassed to say, "Lord, you know the secrets of my life, but if I give you the secrets of my life, that means I know that you know, and I'm really ashamed of that." And the Lord says, "Let me wash your soul. Let me wash your feet." And then for you to step into the lives of others to help them be centered in Christ. Because thirdly, what can happen is that we can be aware but not scared. Because our fear has a resting place in Christ, we can be research-based faith and knowledge. What does that mean, to be research-based? There are a lot of rumors going on out there, aren't there? I mean, I've tried to be very careful to make sure that any information I passed on had been checked and double-checked, but I made a mistake. I passed on a story in a conversation that I discovered wasn't true, and I immediately had to text back the two people I was talking with and said, "Whoa, I checked this out. It is not true. Take it off whatever screen that you might be passing on what I'm saying." It is so important that we trust God with our minds and we use research and reason to really think this through, and that we're not passing on fear or fiction about reality, but that we're stepping into as much of the reality of what is occurring as we can, including helping people feel the pressures of what's going on in their businesses and their places of work. And so part of the research base, in a larger sense, is what Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must also love one another." Say it with me. If you're at home, your work, wherever you are, say it with me. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." See, the research is, the experience is, the faith knowledge is that we can receive the love of Christ. We can know how it is to be loved. Some of you may not have felt loved in your whole life. And the Lord wants you to know, to experience deep within your heart of feeling, deep within your mind of thinking, deep within your soul of the Spirit, that His love is what brought you into the world. And His love is what sustains you now. A friend of mine gave care to another friend who is in his last days of dying from a long-term disease. And my friend just recorded his voice and with a message and sent it to him of just kind of sacred words of scripture and song. So the friend can be playing it during the last days of his life, because my friend is not able to be with his friend in person. But he's taking the practice of how he has been loved and is passing on to another person who's making the most sacred passage in all of life, life from earth to life in heaven. But make sure that you indeed are in that loving relationship with God so you can be confident in your future. Tim and Jenny Diane Kreider, their sons Alex and Jackson, helped us in 2012 to begin where we are right now and having a worship experience in this place, a Tri Point called Crossings. They then, military, moved them to Japan, and Japan now has moved them to Germany. Tim is an officer and respected leader in the Navy and has responsibilities in a whole bunch of ways. But recently, his own life was threatened by an infection, not COVID-19, but another kind of infection, and that many within our church, the Friendship Sunday School class, our prayer room, and many others, were praying for Tim and his recovery, and they're watching right now from Germany. They're joining us in the experience of worship now. And the Kreider family, we want you to know our love is with you. We thank you for a friendship that goes on, and we celebrate in God, Tim, in your recovery. I remember the story of when you were in either Iraq or Afghanistan, and you were sharing the faith, and in doing so, someone came to a faith in Christ, and you baptized him in the midst of a war scene. That memory just came back to me. How in the midst of crisis you yourself delivered, and how then you have received a prayers that have come to kind of wash you over in the healing practices of God. Apply then your best practices. With this work of love coming to our life, number four is to apply best practices of what life is all about, the power of truly loving one another. And Jesus, when he said this is a new commandment, what was new about it? Love had been from the very beginning, the very heart of God. It's the character of God, for God is love. But what was new is for the first time, the love was being experienced perfectly in the life of a person. And in the Messiah mission of Jesus, he was perfectly embodying what it means to be a person of love. I think I've got a good sense of what heaven's going to be like. It has nothing to do with golf carts and golf courses and gold streets. What it has to do is all of the teaching and the life that Jesus gave on earth, minus having to deal with sin. Everything Jesus was about showing how God intended for creation to be. And in doing so, he brought heaven to earth by his very presence. And so when he highlighted the power of this love's transforming capacity, he was highlighting that it's fully embodied in him. And that's what was new. And then he released this fresh movement, the movement of the life of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, that then we would take this and let it be our message and how we live. So in verse 35, he said, and say it with me, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. The word disciple is a follower. We had been in a message series before COVID-19 pandemic began and touched our country and our lives and most of the world. But it's so appropriate that it is. The reason we chose disciple as the theme for us in our worship experiences is because a disciple means to be a follower of Christ, not just when we think it's convenient, but in every aspect of our life so we can truly let the wonder of God shape the character of who we are. There is no guarantee that we're going to get out of this okay. There's no guarantee. There's a lot of sin we need to repent from. There's a lot of practices of greed and false ego that needs to be repented from. But I'm a person of hope because of Christ's resurrection. I'm a person of hope because from the cross, where he embodied the sacrificial love, buried in the grave, he rose again to prove that love conquers hate. Hope whoops upon despair, and the gift of love frees us from the greed addiction. And how our world needs this. We don't need to be celebrating celebrities. We need to be celebrating the worship of the living Lord God. Go unto him and discover who you are, who your family is, who your business is. And let yourself be shaped in this crisis by loving and being loved. Many are trying to support their businesses of people who had been faithful to them before the pandemic. Whatever the business is, if it has a to-go offering, that we're trying to hook up and be supportive. Take that image with this, that love on the go, the love of Jesus on the go in you, that wherever you go, any time during the day or night, let the love of God let you know that you are hugged with the heavenly arms for your earthly life, and that your very self is the call of the new commandment, so that everyone would know that God makes it possible for us to win by a love that does not let go. Amen. We step into a response time that wherever you are in this worship experience, we as a worship team have been praying for you and trying to picture you. You may be in your pajamas. You may have put on your Sunday best or in between. But as we're experiencing the sense of this promise and the wonder of God, know that God has a next step for you to take. For some, that's to say, Lord, I've kept you. I've stiff-armed you. I haven't let you come really close to me. But I'm letting go of the stiff arm. I'm accepting my need for you to wash my feet, to change my life. I accept my forgiveness, your forgiveness for my sins. I believe in you as the Son of God. I believe in you as the Christ. And I commit my life to you now and forever. Those ABCs are never out of style or out of date. It can be that at this time, you're feeling more of a togetherness with the people with whom you are. And maybe if you're in that pod with who you are, you may want to hold their hand right now and just pray. And then the worship band soon will lead us in a song that you may sing where you are and let it be a response. And for some, this is a time when you want to say, I'm stepping into the faith family at Trinity Baptist Church. And I want to join into this faith family. Email us, text us, give the message. Let us know that we're just connected with you. And then for those who are in other parts around the world, our mission partners, knowing that we're also picturing you and that God's blessings to be upon you. To survive, yes. To adapt, for sure. But even more than that, that you may thrive. Whatever you need to do, write down the invitation. Let that happen. Oh, Lord, how we need you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.